The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air.
Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join me for another Netcast today. We're going to be talking about something really important and something that I think you'll find a real revelation. Although, at first, you may think, what? So hang in there, all right? Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about something really interesting. Before we do, though, let me get into a little bit about speakfaith.tv. You know I talk about that quite a bit here on the broadcast and the netcast, and the reason for that is that there is so much to talk about. The statistics that I've been running for speakfaith.tv are demonstrating that it is very, very popular. And why not? It has almost all of the major Word of Faith teachers, preachers, ministers on speakfaith.tv. In other words, the one-stop shop place where you can get good teaching from Word of Faith ministers. So praise the Lord for that. We have right at 500 people a day that are connecting to and viewing speakfaith.tv. And I'm pleased to report that the switch over to our local server here has actually proven to be very beneficial, not only from a financial perspective, but from a statistic gathering perspective as well. It's helping us reap a lot of information, pull in a lot of information about people watching the show in the sense of where they're coming from, how many there are, what they're viewing, those kinds of things. And that helps us determine the kinds of programming that you want to see out there on speakfaith.tv. So that's exciting to me. And I'm really happy that we have all the different ministries on there that we do. So again, I encourage you, tell people about speakfaith.tv. It is a ministry opportunity for you. Now listen, I tell you what, I love Dr. Gene Bailey's program, Revival Radio TV, where he talks about you can be the one for your generation. Now, one way you can be someone that matters in terms of propagating the teaching of the Word of Faith and ministering the Word of Faith throughout the world is to tell people about the opportunities that we have to receive from Word of Faith teaching, okay? And so that would be speakfaith.tv. That would be Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. That is also growing and expanding, and more people are listening to Word of Faith Radio. And of course, that's coming right out of our servers here at Word of Faith Ministries as well. So, praise the Lord, there's a lot of exciting things happening. And I want you, listen, I want you to be a part of sharing this information about these ministries so that you can get the word out. You can send email, you can send out a tweet through Twitter. You can talk about it on Facebook. You can tell your friends. You can IM them if you want, praise the Lord. Anything you need to do to get the word out about these opportunities for ministry, I would encourage you to do, praise the Lord. Okay? Just think about that. Meditate on that. I want you to be a partner in that sense with this ministry. Now, if God speaks to you about being a financial partner with this ministry, that's great. Praise the Lord. You pray about that. That's fine. But I'm extremely interested in you being a part of this ministry in terms of sharing these opportunities. You know, I told you about this, I think, fairly recently. We have an entire church down in Concord, North Carolina, that every Sunday they put up on their big screen when they're doing their offering that they support Word of Faith Ministries. And when I was down there visiting, they didn't make a big deal about it. They just did it as part of their regular offering and so forth. But when I saw our ministry go up there as one that they are supporting, I tell you what, it did something to me. It ministered to me that they believe in what we're doing here at Word of Faith Ministries enough to mention it during their regular services. It just warmed my heart, I'll tell you the truth. And it's the same thing with you personally. If you choose to become a part of this ministry, not necessarily by financial contribution. That's fine, and I encourage you to pray about that. But more than that, to be part of the ministry by sharing the opportunities that we have through Word of Faith Ministries, this ministry right here, to reach the world with the gospel. And we do that through SpeakFaith.tv. We do that through Word of Faith Radio. These are all opportunities that you have to share the Word of God. Amen? All right, let me clear my screen here a little bit. I want to talk about something that's been on my heart. I've been turning around thinking about it recently. And you may think, wow, Dr. Bill, that's a great revelation you've got there. But now, bear with me. Let's go read the scripture in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18. Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked Jesus, he's speaking to Jesus here, he says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, there's a couple of things here. This guy was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He was a ruler in the Jewish synagogue. He was an individual who knew something about the Word of God, and he knew enough to know that Jesus had some answers. Okay? Well, that's great revelation right there, knowing that Jesus is the one to go to have the answers. All right? So he says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He was interested in his eternal salvation. He wanted to know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Now, we kind of gloss over that a lot of times. Jesus said that, we go, yeah, yeah, and then he went on to say other things that people have taught a lot of messages on, and they've talked about, and they've ministered on, and that's all well and good, because there's a lot to be derived from these scriptures. But they kind of gloss over this point. Yeah, Jesus said his Father was good. Okay. But I want us to really meditate on that a bit before we go any further. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" Because he'd called him good master. "There is none good save one," or except one, "that is God." What Jesus was telling him is, and telling us is, God is good. Now that's my great revelation right there. I want you to stop and meditate on that with me here for just a minute. I know some of you going, "Dr. Bill, of course God's good." Well, now hold on before you say that. There's a lot of Christians that the jury is out with them as to whether God is good. Now, I know a lot of you are just taken aback by that. What in the world do you mean by that, Dr. Bill? What do you mean there are Christians that think that God's not good? Well, now, it's all how you think about it. Okay? I've talked to some Christians. I've talked to some believers. They confess Jesus is their Lord. They believe God raised him from the dead. They may have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues. They read their Bible. And yet I've had them come to me and say, "Well, now you know, Brother Bill." You know you're in trouble when they start talking a little perpendicular. You know what I'm saying? "Well, now, Brother Bill, you understand. Sometimes God's good. Sometimes God's bad." I actually heard a guy say one time that there was no devil. Now follow this. They said, despite what the Bible says about the devil and that he is a real individual, they said they don't believe there really is a devil. They believe God's got a good side and a bad side. And sometimes you get God's good side, sometimes you get his bad side. Because, see, actually, I'm going to really shake a lot of you up right here. Actually, that viewpoint is more intellectually honest than a lot of Christians that believe that secretly. They try to have it both ways. Well, of course God's good, but you don't know if he's going to heal. But He may have a purpose for you being in that car wreck, but you see what I'm saying? They try to make it out like, oh yeah, God's good, but now he does all these bad things too for his greater purpose, his greater glory. You see what I'm saying? I think it's at least more intellectually honest to just go ahead and say, okay, God's good and God's bad. God kills people and God heals people, and you just don't know which side of the bed he's going to wake up on. Now, I know a lot of you are just going, what? But hold on. Bear with me. A lot of Christians, millions of Christians, don't understand that it is always God's will to heal. They don't understand that God is always good, that he only seeks to bless you. He does not want you to end up hurt, in pain, poor, sick. None of these things are God's will. And yet I know there's a lot of you out there saying, but now hold on. If it's not God's will, then how come it's happening to Christians? If it's not God's will for any of those things to be the case, then how can it be happening because God's will automatically comes to pass? Well, there's your problem right there. There is the point at which you've made a theological error. Just because something is God's will does not mean it automatically comes to pass. Now, I know some of you are going, hold on, that can't be true. It is true. Because the scripture plainly says that it is God's will that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But let me ask you this question. Are all being saved and coming to a knowledge of the truth? No. There's people going to hell. They choose to reject the free gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are going to hell. But we know from the scripture that it's God's will that all men be saved. We know that Jesus came and bore sin, became sin, for us with our sin so that we wouldn't have to be punished. He was punished in our place on the cross. This is basic Christian doctrine here. And yet, not everyone is automatically saved. What do they need to do to be saved? They need to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord, confess Him as Lord with their mouth, believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. And if they do that, they shall be saved. No more emphatic statement than shall be in the English language. You shall be saved if you confess Jesus is your Lord and you believe God raised Him from the dead. That's the Bible. But not everyone is confessing Him as Lord. Not everyone believes He was raised from the dead. There are people in Christian churches that if you really pin them down and say, was Jesus literally, physically, actually raised from the dead? And they'll go, well, now you know. In other words, they don't actually believe it. Well, let me tell you what, they're not actually Christians. I know some of you are going, oh, wait now. No, it's a truth. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Bible says that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, confess Him as Lord, and you have to believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. If you don't do those two things, you don't qualify. If you do those two things, you do qualify. And you shall be, emphatically, saved. And the word saved there is the Greek word sozo, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Hallelujah. It's an all-encompassing salvation. Why? Because God is good. God wants what's best for you. Matter of fact, God even said, the thoughts that I think toward you are good. I have in mind for you a good future, a good end. In other words, end in terms of your life and your situation and your circumstances. God desires good for you. Well, then how come all these bad things are happening? Because same reason not everybody's born again. Remember, what does it take to be born again? Believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, confessing with your mouth that he is Lord of your life. In other words, there's something you have to do to meet qualifications in order for the free gift, and it is a free gift, of salvation to be applicable to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, let's kind of think about this a minute. We're talking about the fact that God is good. God intends good. God desires good. God wants to bless you in every area of your life. The reason the word sozo, salvation, is an all-encompassing word, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. The reason it is an all-encompassing word is because God wants you to be blessed in every area of life. Every area of your life. That's your spiritual life, being born again. That's your mental life, having your mind renewed to the Word of God. That's your physical life, meaning your body renewed, refreshed, healed, and whole. God wants all those things for you. It is His will, it is His desire that all His children live in that state of good. He wants good for His children because He's a good God. Amen? Jesus said, God is good. Those three words say so much about God's nature. He, God, is good. Wow. Now, I know some of you are still kind of shaking your head. How can you get so excited that God is good? Of course God is good. Because so many people don't act like God's good. They don't react to life like God's good. They don't pray like God's good. What do I mean by that? There are still people who are praying, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. Because they don't know his will. His will is laid out specifically in his word. When the leper came to Jesus, a leper that was full of leprosy, the Bible says. In other words, he was in the last stages of leprosy, which was a death sentence. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, look, I know you can. In other words, you have the ability to heal me. And not just heal him like he's no longer going to lose skin and everything like a leper would, but be completely restored. I know you can heal me if you will. He didn't know what God's will was. And what did Jesus say? He immediately said, I am willing, be healed, and laid hands on him. And the guy was healed instantly. Now you might say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, that was just that one guy. Well, remember what we've said in our past teaching about this very incident. He was healed, and Jesus is no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't play favorites. Matter of fact, the Bible says very explicitly, to have respect of persons is not good. Let me say that again. To have respect of persons, or to be partial, one person to another, is not good. And God, Jesus said, is good. If God is good, then he doesn't have respect to persons. And the scripture says very plainly, he has no respect of persons. Or he doesn't have any favorites, so to speak, or have any partiality toward anyone. He treats everybody the same. So if this leper came to him and said, I believe you can if you will, and Jesus said, I will, if he will for him, he will for you. If he will for him, he will for anybody. Now you might say, yeah, but that was back then when Jesus was doing that stuff. No, 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 no. Hold on. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Now let's take that time frame apart. Yesterday is in the past. Okay, so that's past tense. Today is in the present. That's present tense. And forever is in the future. That's future tense. So past, present, and future, Jesus is the same. Whatever he did back then in his earthly ministry, he's still doing today. The fact that he has no partiality or no respect of persons is the same today as it was back then. So if Jesus told this guy, this, so to speak, random leper, it's my will, be healed, he'd have said it if you were standing there. He'd have said it if Joe were standing there, or Fred were standing there, anybody was standing there. Because he's no respecter of persons. And God is good. He's good. He's never bad. Let's go back and talk about this guy. Because I talked to a guy one time. He told me this. He said, see, God is partially good and he's partially bad. And, you know, it's almost like he's bipolar. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know that the term bipolar is a psychological term that doesn't have to do with what I'm talking about here. But for just sake of discussion, we're going to say bipolar means he can tilt one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? Bipolar, two poles, two directions, either good or bad. And like I say, a lot of people talk like it's just, well, however you catch God, whatever mood he's in, you might get him on a good day, you might get him on a bad day. And if you get him on a bad day, oh, you better watch out because he's liable to zap you with lightning and send you to hell. But if you catch him on a good day, then he might heal you and bless you and prosper you and so forth. In other words, like God's schizophrenic. Like God is messed up. God is messed up. Let me tell you. God is good. He's always good. He's never bad. Yeah, but what about God sending people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Oh, Dr. Bill, what you said? You're saying God doesn't send anybody to hell? Absolutely, that's what I said. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Now, that doesn't mean nobody's going to hell. God made the way of escape. He made the way out. He made the way clear and plain and simple to go to heaven. It is through his son, Jesus Christ, and receiving the free gift of salvation that Jesus provided by going to the cross and being raised again from the dead. So God provided the means and the way out. But if you reject that and stay connected to your father, the devil, God is sending the devil to hell. He has no compassion for the devil. And he is, in the book of Revelation, it says that Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Well, when Satan is cast into that lake of fire, everyone that is still spiritually connected to him, to the devil, will be cast into that lake of fire as well. That is not God's desire for those people. That is not his intent. He didn't send them there, but they are going there unless they receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Wow. It's a very sobering thought. But they have the ultimate say, the ultimate decision as to whether they go or not. Amen. But what I want you to think about on this particular episode is that God is good. Our God is good. Our God blesses. Our God heals. Our God is a blessing to us. Praise the Lord. Man, I trust you've got a hold of this today. I really want you to meditate on this. I want you to turn around in your thinking. Meditate on it. My God is good. My God wants to bless. My God only has good in mind for me. His plans are good for me. Meditate on that. Let it permeate your being. Let it color how you read the scripture. Because once you understand that God is good and God only intends good for you, the scripture will open up to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have to go. We're out of time. And my throat's getting a little scratchy because I'm having to drink to... my throat's drying out. That's okay. I'll get something when I get off the air here. But I'd love for you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27265. You can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us again next time. Remember until then to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.